and they are about to cross over. Now, they've been wandering out here in this desert for 40 years. And not a time has gone by, I don't think, that they really knew what was going to happen. And this is another time. They've come to this river, and there's no provisions that they have made to cross this body of water. So it begins in the first verse by saying, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure." That's a little more than a half mile. "Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." I thought about Joshua telling them that tomorrow the Lord will do wonders, because it's one of the few places in the Bible that you were guaranteed the next day. Because Joshua told them the Lord was going to do something the next day. So you knew that you were guaranteed the next day. Now that's more than we have today. Today we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So let's remember that. It's a mystery to us out there what is going to happen tomorrow. And Joshua said, "For ye have not passed this way before." And that's here again. Tomorrow, we've not passed that way yet, and we don't know what's in store for us. And neither did the children of Israel at this time. They didn't know what was in store for them, because all they saw before them was an obstacle. But they've come this far, and they've had trials and tribulations to get this far, but they've come this far, and I believe that they had all the faith in the world at this point in time that God was going to take care of them and get them across this river over into the promised land. Now, he said that first thing that he wanted done, he gave the order of march. He said the first thing we want to do is for the Ark of Covenant to get out about a half mile or so out in front. Now, the Ark of Covenant represented God. And in representing God, God is always, or should always be, put out in front. And he wanted to be out in front enough that the people could look out. This was a flat land. They could look out and they could see the Ark of Covenant out in front. He didn't want the people just up milling around and going willy-nilly wherever they wanted to go. He wanted their eyes focused on the covenant, focused on God. And they wanted, and God wanted them to follow after it and follow Him, which was what the Ark of Covenant represented to these people, was God. Now, the people had no idea what was in store for them in the future, but their faith had brought them to the banks of the Jordan, and they were preparing to go over into the promised land and begin their new lives. Now, what a time that must have been, because what people lose sight of a lot, when they talk about the Jews going into the promised land, is that the promised land was occupied. It was peopled. It was nations of people. I mean, this wasn't a blank piece of ground that these people were going into. So I'm sure that they had a lot of things on their mind. What was the reception going to be? Well, you know, I think Joshua knew what the reception is going to be. But God had brought down judgment on these people that occupied the Canaan land. And they were idolaters, and they were godless people. And he was going to go before his people into this land, and he told them that they would occupy every bit of it, and that they would not have any problems occupying it. Now, imagine the faith that that took for those people standing there. First of all, they had to get across the river. Once they got across the river, they was in a land that didn't want them. I mean, this was a land that these people, it was theirs. They had been there for hundreds of years. And so they were facing a people that didn't want them, that hated them, and was going to do everything in their power to keep them out of the land. But just think of the faith that it took to stand there and look at that river and wonder how we're going to get across that river, first of all, and then what are we going to do when we get on the other side? Think about the faith that it took to stand there as a group of people and wonder what the next day was going to bring. Now, we don't know what the next day is going to bring. We don't know what our day is going to bring. And you'll read on. I'm not going to read on to it, but you'll find out that they were able to cross the river. Well, they were able to cross the river because God brought a tremble to the land. And he brought the banks down around the river, and the river dammed itself up, and they went across on dry land. And there's an estimate that this dry part of the Jordan that was created by God's hand stretched 20 miles. And they walked across on dry land. Now, that was the first obstacle that was taken care of by God. And now you know the rest of it. There was battles fought, and there was people that lost their lives. But God had given this land, he had promised this land, and they were able to occupy it. Now, the title of the lesson is, What is in Store? These people did not know all about their future. And we today, we don't know anything about our future. And like I said at the beginning, at least they knew, these people knew, that there was going to be a tomorrow. Now, you have to think, though, that God has said there would be something, there would be a tomorrow, but he didn't necessarily say he was going to be there. So that's something else to think about. He gave them one more day, but there's no guarantees that it's going to be there. Now, today, I don't know if there's going to be a tomorrow or not. There's nobody that's told me, especially God, is there or is there not going to be a tomorrow. Now, I live my life assuming that I'm going to wake up the next morning. Don't we all do that? We all go to bed at night, and we think we're going to be there when the sun rises. And we're going to get up, and we're going to go through that day, and we're going to do it again. We're going to lay down that night, and we're going to go to bed. We get complacent like that because we do this. I've done this my whole life, haven't you? I mean, my whole life, all I've known is I woke up the next day. I mean, that's just the way it's always been. Well, there's no guarantees that I'm going to wake up in the morning. Not a guaranteed one. Thank God, though, that I got that worked out. Now, I got that part of it. I may not have everything worked out exactly like I think I want it or exactly like I think I need it. But I got one thing worked out. If I don't wake up in the morning, I'm good to go. And I thank God for that. Thank God for that knowledge. That I'm good. Not everybody has that. You understand? That's where I'm going with this. Not everybody has that. That knowledge that if they don't wake up in the morning, they've got a place, a better place to go to. Now, it may not be a Canaan land, but God gives us what he gives us because he wants to give us what we have. And we need to thank him for that. But I think more than that, we need to thank him just for the state that he gives us. That's a huge blessing that we enjoy is another day. And so I think we lose sight And we say, well, Brother and I already said, well, we need to go to the store tomorrow. There may not be a tomorrow. Now, James covered this. Let me go over here and read something from James. I didn't know if I was going to get this right, but James covered this. In the 4th chapter of James in the 13th verse, he says, go to now, ye that say tomorrow, or no, go to now, ye that say today, or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For what ye ought to say, is, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. So we have a little lesson here. What is in store for us? Well, we really don't know what's in store for us. These people there on the banks of the Jordan didn't exactly know what was in store for them, nor do we know what's in store for us. But I pray that the Lord will give us another day. And I pray that we'll be able to do what it is that we have our plans to do. But James is right in the fact that we shouldn't make plans without consulting God first about it. At least asking Him to be with us. And if what we're doing is in accordance with His will. Because it would be so simple for us not to wake up in the morning. I mean, that is so easy not to wake up in the morning when our life could be snuffed out just like that. You know, let's just bring it a little closer. There's no guarantee we're going to get home after church. And, you know, this is all in God's hand. Now, these people knew that. And they were willing for that to happen, that they were going to let God lead them. Now, he told them not to get too close to the Ark of the Covenant. And that was nothing different than when Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. You know, Moses told them not to come, don't come up here. This is just between, you know, this is just between me and God. And I'll come back and I'm paraphrasing. I'll tell you what he's told me. But those people were not to go up in the mountain. These people were not to get more than a half mile close to the Ark of Covenant. God is like that. God is our Heavenly Father. He deserves our respect. He deserves our love. He deserves all that we can give. And whatever He might tell us to do, we need to do that. Now, it doesn't make any difference whether it seems reasonable to us. It's God's will. Now, my first thought as I read this, well, wouldn't that be something that you know, this was a million people or better that was out here in this desert wandering around. Or they started out with over a million people. I don't know how many was here, but I'm sure it was hundreds of thousands of people. And what a fiasco that would have been if they all rushed to the river, or they didn't know where they was going anyway. What if they all rushed in all directions and didn't know where they was going? They were instructed to keep their eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. That was a half mile out in front of them. Keep your eyes on what? Keep your eyes on God. Because He's about to do something. And you need to be prepared for whatever it is that He's about to do. Now these people didn't really know what He was about to do. But they were being prepared and they were getting themselves prepared to be ready to do whatever God would have them to do. Now, are we that ready today to do whatever it is that God would have us to do? Are we like these people who are out there looking at God and waiting for Him to give us something, to show us something that we can do for Him that it might be pleasing to him. You know, we should be aware of whether or not we're pleasing God each and every day of our life. Did what I just do please God? Or was he displeased at it? I have a feeling that more things I do displease God than I do that please God. But all I can do is ask him to give me forgiveness for that, and give me more strength, and give me more faith, give me more courage, that whatever that he has for me to do, if it's his will, tomorrow, that I'll do that he might gain honor and glory, and that somebody might look at my life, maybe. Sometimes I'm kind of embarrassed about that. But there might be somebody out there that would be looking at my life, that they could see that there's something that's different about me. Now, we're different. Now, those of us who are saved are doing, we're not like everybody else. We're not supposed to be like everybody else. The Bible teaches us that we're not like everybody else. Now, the Bible says we're peculiar people, and yes, we are. We're peculiar because, why? Because we're God's. We are God's people. We're not like the world. We're his people, and he's got us over here in this group. I say this all the time. Y'all heard me say it. He's got us right over here. We're this group. We're that group of people who claim to be God's people. That's exactly right. We claim to be God's people because we are God's people. And he has set us aside. And he wants us to be this people over here that love him and serve him, and that he can look down and bless, and that people can see that there's something about this group of people that God has over here that they might want to have. Listen, there's, but Jim was talking about people that he gets to talk to. There's people out there that's searching for this group of people, right here, they're searching for them. And lo and behold, we had it. And I don't mean to be braggart about that. I don't mean to get the big head and go out and bragging to people that I'm better than they are, because I'm not better than they are. The only thing that I got that they may not have is salvation. And all that means is that I was a sinner. I'm still a sinner, but God has saved my soul. And he sent me over here. And I need to work that I can be over here with this peculiar people, that we might love one another and work as a group, one mind, one accord. And we might be over here and God will look down upon us, sitting here this morning, look down upon us sitting right here and say, that's my people right there. And they're down there doing the best that they can do to give me honor and glory. Now, are we doing that? I think that's a question we need to ask ourselves. Because what is in store for us? I'll tell you what's in store for us if God gives us tomorrow. Is more blessings. That's what's in store for us. Our life, our health, our well-being. Knowing that God looks down upon us and loves us for who we are. Now, I know it's easy for people to say that Jesus went to the cross and died for me, but he truly did. I mean, that's not just words. That's not just something. You know, it's kind of like people overuse the word born again. I mean, a lot of people, and I'm getting way off this subject, sorry. A lot of people use this word born again. They just love that word. You know, I'm born again. I hope they are. But that's what I'm saying when people say Jesus died for me. That's words. But do you truly believe? Listen, I believe it. Jesus truly died for me. Amen. Me personally. Amen. Now he did. He probably was up there on the cross and he did everything to call out my name. Because prayers that went up to God was for us out there in the future. And the only thing I figured that he didn't do was call out my name. Because everything else he did for me. And he did for you. If you're one of his own, he did for you. And that's not just words. That's not just words. That's a deed that he did. And he did it for our sake. So, you know, the title of this is What is in Store? Well, in one way, we know what's in store, really. We know what the end is going to be like. I don't know when the end is going to be, but we know what it's going to be like. And it's not going to be, don't get me wrong when I say I kind of got a chuckle out of this. But when the Mayan calendar said it, the world's going to end on December 21st, so some man said. There was people out gathering food and stuff and supplies and guns and ammunition, and they were getting ready. Listen, that ain't going to do them a bit of good. I mean, if it is truly coming to an end, I don't care how much food you've got stored in your pantry, it's not going to do you one lick of good. And I couldn't figure out why all these people were running out doing that. It didn't make sense to me. I mean, if the world was going to end, why do I need to go out and stock up on food? I would figure the thing I'd do was eat.
Eat what you had.
Eat it all. Because you spend your whole days watching what you eat. I figure if I knew the end of the world's coming, I can eat. I don't need to hoard it up. I don't need to bring stuff in. So, you know, people just get a little bum-fuzzled. These people have been promised a land in which they could live, in which they could serve God, in which they could carry the ark and set up a temple, that God would be there. They knew that. They'd been promised that. God was going to uphold his promise. They knew what was in store. They didn't know how hard it was going to be to get to that point, but they knew what the reward was going to be, and we do too. We don't know how hard it's going to be to get there, but we know what the reward is. We know how that one day God is going to look down, and he's going to tell his angels, "It's enough. This is over with," and then we're going home. That's what's in store for us. We're going home. And I don't care how much food you've got stored in your house. I don't care how much ammunition you've got. I don't care how much guns you've got hanging around. Ain't gonna do you one lick of good. I'll tell you right now, I've got guns in the house. I've got ammunition. We've got plenty of food. But I ain't gonna do me a bit of good. And I don't want it anyway. I'm going home. I don't want to be out running around with these bunch of kooks out here who don't understand the concept of the world coming to an end. So, let's remember. I've been scattered, I know, but let's remember our obligation to God. What we owe him just for allowing us to wake up this morning, get in our vehicles, and come here.
Amen.
Come here.
Amen.
What a joy and blessing that is to be able to get up and come here. And if God will it, I'll get up in the morning. But if he doesn't, I'm going home. I want you to know that. I'll be home. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. Anybody have anything to say? Well, like I said, it was sort of scattered, but you know, there's a lesson to be learned by reading history. And the history of God's people is a roadmap to how we can live our life. And maybe avoid the mistakes that they made. Listen, they didn't all time live for God. They didn't all time do that. And you know, it's the same today. It's no different. We're not every day living for God. We ought to, but we're not. But I just pray that God will forgive us. Will give us one more day that we might could do something for Him, that He might look down and be pleased with, that He might smile at us just a little bit, that He might not just shake His head in disgust and say, there He goes off on a tangent again, but that He might look down upon us and be pleased with what He sees. And Jimmy, when people talk to you about it, talk to them. I'm the world's worst about not doing that. I sort of try and avoid that, but that's, Jimmy, I look up to you and respect your desire to speak to people like that. You and Billy and Cindy and all who meet the public. Barry. I'm running out of time. Anybody else? If not, Brother Quinn, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, we come to this Lord's Day.